Now, another exciting hour of the Tom Abraham Show. Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Really rather not have any more questions about, is it okay to lose this game? It's never okay to lose a game.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
I am the champ that runs the camp. Showtime! Woo!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, here's Tom Abraham.
And I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
I forgot to mention Corey, listening in Huntsville. He hit that trifecta as well. I can't believe it. Five guys. So, Corey, get me a score for tonight's game. West Virginia, number 9 in the country, at number 3, Kansas. So get me that score, and we'll find out. You know, I've got to give this food away. I mean, how can I get – I only took 20 or 25 picks on Friday. How can 25% of the people or 20% of the people hit a Friday trifecta plus the tiebreaker? You guys are ridiculous. I've taught you way too much about handicapping. All right, joining us now, a guy who I think, like me, gets excited this week. Well, he's excited all the time like I am. But he gets excited especially this week because spring training is starting. Okay? It's spring training is starting. And we're not giving up being seam heads. Not off of that World Series last year. We're looking forward to a big year this year in baseball. And, you know, football's not the only sport on the planet. It might be the most important, but not the only. He joins us now. Damon Amendler, CBS Sports Radio. DA, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing good, Big Dog. Yeah, I'm fired up for a little spring training up here in the Great White North, even though it's not nearly as bad as, say, Boston and New England and Maine that have just gotten pounded the last couple of days. It's pretty cold. We had our snowstorm last week, and there's still snow all over the place. It's cold and gray, so spring training's a beautiful thing.
We got something weird going on in the Mid-South here in the Tennessee Valley. We've got flowers coming up and trees blossoming, and this is still 2 to 3 weeks too early for that. We're what, mid-February? It's not February. It's not Valentine's Day yet, and we have just had one little cold snap, and other than that, it's like 50s 60s 70s, and all the flowers are coming up. It's very confusing out there. If we get a snowstorm, a spring snowstorm, it's going to be nuts around here. So it's been very, very mild. There might be something to this whole global warming thing. I don't know.
I think there's probably something to that, but, you know, if it lets the flowers bloom a little earlier, I think we're probably okay with it, right?
Listen, man, I'm just stoked for spring training. I mean, I hope spring's eternal. That's what they say, right? And it's going to be, I think we got a chance for it to be a really good baseball season. The one thing that I hate, and I don't know if we talked about this or not last week, but I am very much against this baseball classic thing, this World Baseball not so classic thing, because as you know, the only thing I allow listeners to say we or us is for the national team. And it's very important to me that we beat everybody and everything that we can beat everybody in. And I don't like us playing a tournament that is called the World Baseball Classic, and we got no Chris Bryant and no Anthony Rizzo, and we got no Mike Trout, and we got no Bryce Harper, and we don't have the pitchers, and screw this. I mean, this is ridiculous. We're going to play this thing with like a JV team or a freshman team. This is nuts.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the concept of the World Baseball Classic is kind of cool because there are so many, certainly the South American and Latin American countries that really love baseball would make for the real kind of flavor and the charisma and the personality of a tournament like this. And certainly the Far East that plays, like Japan and South Korea, that would be cool as well. But it just has never quite gripped people's attention the way that, certainly mine, the way that I thought maybe people thought it might, certainly the organizers thought it might. And if you don't have your A-list stars playing in it, and I understand why they don't, it's just really impossible to take it all that seriously. I just don't know if there's a good time in the calendar to really be able to do this because, let's face it, you know, you can't do it in the middle of a season. It's a 162-game slog. You can't really do it in the winter because after 162 weeks or 162 games or then more in the postseason, guys don't want to just get up and play baseball. And so baseball tried to make it in the middle of spring training or right before spring training to get guys kind of getting going and their juices flowing. But again, guys don't want to put out that type of energy before they've got to go through this marathon. So I don't know. It feels kind of like a half-baked idea that will never quite work here in the States because our players will just never want, and a lot of other players will just never want to put that much more taxing on their body on an already kind of ridiculously long season.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was ecstatic when I heard that Gary Sanchez was not going to play for his country in Latin America, and where they're absolutely nuts about this stuff. You know, the Dominican and Puerto Rico and these places, they're absolutely, you know, this is very, very big deal, the national team. But I want that guy working with those pitchers he's going to catch for 130 games. I don't want him jerking around with that thing. And I sure as heck don't want to see him trying to leg out a double into a triple because the game is on the line and there's national pride and he blows out a hammy that costs him the first 3 weeks of the season. I don't want to see any of that. So I'll be honest with you, DA. You mentioned in the middle of the season, I would not object to once every 4 years, Olympic years, shutting down that All-Star break. And you know, the All-Star game is wasted now. Why not not have an All-Star break once every 4 years and shut down baseball for 10 days? Give me a week and a half and play it in the Olympics. And I would be okay with that, to be honest with you, once every 4 years.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting possibility. But, I mean, it comes back down to what these managers, general managers, agents, and everybody else want. And let's face it. If there's an All-Star break, we're still going to have these players that they're not allowed to play or don't want to play because they'll say, I get 10 days off in the middle of the season. That's amazing. Right. That's more days off than I get the entire season combined. So I think because of the everyday nature of baseball, there is just never going to be a time that anybody is going to really want or encourage their players to partake in something like this. And, you know, that's kind of why the Olympics and basketball are, it's kind of a push and pull, because on the one hand, you're like, okay, there's still a lot of stars that competed it, and a lot of stars like LeBron and Carmelo and et cetera, Chris Paul, want to do it because it's not actually in the middle of their season or right before their season. It's kind of after their season would be over, and they still have time to kind of ramp up to the regular season of basketball. But let's face it, there's also a host of guys that don't play in that as well, and they only play 82 games. So I just don't think there's ever going to be a fit for the World Baseball Classic because of all the money that so many of these guys make.
Damon Amendolara with us, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, in baseball, when you say traditionalist, or if you get labeled a traditionalist, usually that means old, which I despise that thought process because I'm a traditionalist. Well, I guess I am kind of old now, but I am a traditionalist. I think a lot of people respect the tradition of the game. Having said that, you know, we've gotten the DH, we got this new playoff system, we got the divisions, we've done interleague play. All of these things have happened along the way. But now, by God, they're talking about putting a man on second base in extra innings and starting extra innings with a guy on second and using this, which they're already using these international rules where they start with two outs and a guy on second or one out and a guy on second, whatever, or two strikes, whatever they do. But now they're talking about regular baseball. They're going to actually experiment with this, putting a man on second to start each half inning in extra innings. This is an abomination. I mean, I don't know what it would do to records. I don't know what this is just. It's just nuts, man. Where are you on this, DA? Why don't we just put the ball on the tee? Why don't we just go like underhand toss in the extra innings? And what would be a home run derby in the extra innings? First guy to hit three home runs wins the game or something. This is nuts.
First of all, I love when you go through all the modern iterations of baseball. And you're like, we got the DH now, as though that's something new. Like, that's how old school
just happened.
1976, and like, now we've got the DH.
I accept it.
It's been around for 40 years.
Interleague play, it might take off. This interleague play thing, it might take off. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, this is just too radical, and it'll never get passed because it's too radical, although I do want to encourage this type of thinking from Rob Manfred, because as much as you and I enjoy the old school nature of baseball, and we are traditionalists, I totally understand why the game does need to evolve. And I think specifically it's because there's just not enough action anymore. Even if you're a hardcore baseball fan, look, I'll go out to the ballpark at Citi Field or watch on TV or whatever, and you're just seeing zeros put up all of the time. I mean, there's just not a lot of offense in the game. And I think that's primarily because of two things. Number one, because of how often you can use relief pitchers. You just got flamethrowers coming out of the bullpen that only have to face one guy. And then number two, because the walk is now as good as a base hit, so everybody's looking to walk. And I don't like that part of this. So creating more offense or more action, more balls in play, stuff like that, I get. And I think that that's a smart way to look at it. But it's just too radical, to put somebody on second base. I think this making the strike zone bigger or smaller, thinking along those lines is a very specific and interesting idea. I think more so I would like to see baseball say that you can't bring out a relief pitcher for one batter, that a relief pitcher has to pitch to a minimum of two batters, because when you just have this parade of never-ending specialists, it just, once you get to the seventh inning, I mean, look, the Royals win a World Series because basically if they had a lead after six innings, it was game, set, match. I don't really think that that's a great piece of baseball.
No, I agree with you. And, the only way, too, that they would do it, they'd have to do something where, like, records in extra innings don't count or something. I don't know. I mean, you're skewing everything when you just put a guy out there on second. I do agree that there should have to be something done with the pitching side of it. Now, having said that, you talked about going to the game and the inactivity. I don't know if you knew the stat or not. We're at an all-time high in the history of baseball, which is a lot of history. 30% of at-bats result in what they call a non-action play, either a strikeout or a walk. I mean, that is staggering that 30% of at-bats result in the ball not even being put in play.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, look, I've really been blessed to be able to watch this recent Mets rotation up close and personal on a nightly basis and going out to the ballpark, and I love the power arms, obviously. But I'll even admit, I mean, it's great if you're a Mets fan watching Syndergaard throw that many strikeouts and that many, but at the same time, you're like, boy, if they have a 2-0 lead, it's basically over because you don't get any action anymore. And I guess because I grew up on the baseball of the 80s where it was so much about small ball before steroids, and whether it was the Twins or whether it was the Cardinals, it was moving the runner over and stealing a base and having fast guys with the base paths and stringing together rallies. I mean, that to me was the action and the excitement of baseball. If a third of all at-bats, the ball is not even in play, that's just not a good product, and that really is the problem with baseball right now that needs to be solved.
This is an interesting stat as well. I thought this was fascinating as I was doing some research. The top 32 averages, career averages, all time in the history of baseball, the top 32 guys in terms of career average, there's only one guy on the list, all right, that's ever even seen artificial turf. One guy, Tony Gwynn. I mean, I know that artificial turf, now that's been around for a few years right now. Tony Gwynn is the only guy in the top 32, starting with Ty Cobb and going down to Heiny Manush, the old Heiny Manush, who hit 330 in a career. Wade Boggs hit 328. He's number 33. And Rod Carew, and then you start seeing a few more. Your current average leader is Miguel Cabrera, who's a lifetime 321 hitter. He's number 48 all time. So we're in an age where records are broken in every sport all the time. Like the 31 of the top 32 averages of all time are never being touched. Nobody does what these guys did as a career back in the day. It's a totally different game than it used to be.
Yeah, and think about why that is. You're probably looking at a lot of guys with batting averages in the 330s, 340s that played around the turn of the century, and that was basically before relief pitching. I mean, if you had, if you're Carl Hubble or you're Cy Young or whoever, Christy Mathewson, you're just expected to go nine innings. There is no relief pitching. It doesn't matter if you get knocked around. You're just going the distance. And as relief pitching increased, that's where you see all these averages go down. And that's really the thing here. If we could somehow limit this never-ending parade of relief pitchers, I mean, even go back to the 70s, when you have Bruce Sutter and Goose Gossage and Jeff Reardon. You've got flamethrowers, but really they're more like firemen, and the relievers that come in for 2, 3, 3.5, 4 innings, Sparky Lyle. And that, I just feel like that's more of the essence of baseball, because your starter is really, really important to the whole piece of the puzzle. And if he gets knocked around, you can't just yank him in the second inning and go bullpen by committee for the entire day. And now you can do that. And if you don't have one of those firemen, then you're really screwed. But, you know, now you can just soak up innings with your middle relievers and your spot starters. And so maybe it's limiting the roster. Maybe you're only allowed to have X number of pitchers on there. But exactly to what you pointed out, that's a great context. The context is the offense. And this, that was a steroid era we're still talking about, where, you know, offense is through the roof. But you look at batting averages now, on base percentages, and strikeouts. It's just we're in the bottom of the barrel in terms of offense. And while I love pitching, it's skewed too far one way right now for baseball.
Yeah, no, I mean, just nobody puts a ball in play. It's either a home run or strikeout. I mean, it's just there's just very little of a ball in play. And I will say this: this is all since 1900, and the majority of these guys, I would say, are between the 30s and the early 60s. So it's not quite as long ago as you think, but definitely the heyday of baseball, the 40s and 50s and 60s. You know, that's where most of these guys fall. Save Tony Gwynn, and then there's, you know, a few. Then you start getting into a few guys like Wade Boggs and Rod Carew and some of those guys that got up there. But as great as they were, they're only just cracking the top 40, you know, just barely making it in the top 40. Damon Amendolara with us. All right, back to the current game. I say current game. How about the Braves trading for Brandon Phillips? They got Brandon Phillips. They got Bartolo Colon. They got R.A. Dickey. They're opening a new stadium. I think it's the Ted Turner Stadium is what they're opening. Maybe they're in great shape to win the 2004 pennant, I think, with these guys that they're taking in here.
Yeah, you like that?
It's like an old-timers team.
School, which is wild, because they have this, like, ridiculously young core and these incredible prospects that are coming up. And I would have thought that the whole idea in going to this new ballpark is to have a young, exciting team that can start to kind of build. But I guess the Braves are hedging their bets and saying we've got 90% of our roster that's all under the age of 25, and so let's just get a few of the AARP guys in there. I mean, I like...
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. They got a great young kid in Dansby Swanson, who's one of the next big stars at shortstop, and, of course, Freddie Freeman at first. And, you know, they have some younger parts in there, but they have shored up their team a little bit with some. And they're relying on Colon and R.A. Dickey to be like the 3 and 4 starter, or the 2 and 3 starter, which, you know, is an awful lot for a couple of guys that are 43 years old. David Wright's 34 years old. He's played 75 games in the last 2 years. A lot of people like the Mets in the East this year to be, you know, to a team that could possibly, if they keep the pitching healthy, go deep into October. But what about David Wright? What's left of David Wright's career?
Unfortunately, not much. And it's tough because you're watching him on a daily basis go through hours upon hours of stretching. He's going through hours of manipulating his body to get it ready for baseball. But with the spinal stenosis thing, I mean, I think, honestly, the only reason that he's still trying and he's not retired is because he's got a monster contract that he's still trying to live up to. I think part of that is if you walk away, you lose all of that, obviously. But number two, I think he does feel a loyalty to the Mets because they gave him this big contract. And I think he wants to not give up on this career at this point. But honestly, if he was a free agent, I don't think that he's playing baseball anymore. It's just too difficult for him. And it's really unfortunate, too, because, you know, he suffered through so many bad Mets teams and so much dysfunction, and they're finally good again, and this is what happens. But if you're a Mets fan, there's just no way you can really expect much out of him this year, and that's really unfortunate because I do think they're going to have a great shot at getting back to the playoffs. Last year they were a wild card, but I think they're going to be right there for the division as well with the Nationals. And they should win 88 to 92 games or something like that. And if you had David Wright in his prime, man, they would be really, really scary. It'd be the perfect offensive complement, but it's just never going to happen again for him.
I hate it for him, you know, because it was, you know, this is not a, you know, they finally have got the kind of team that could do something. And he, you know, he toiled on some really bad teams over the years. All right, before I let you go, last year, everybody's down on, of course, the Chicago Cubs. You look at them right now, they're the odds-on favorite along with the Boston Red Sox. My God, there's a sign of the apocalypse now, right? You'd have the Cubs and the Red Sox in a World Series. Having said that, when will it become politically correct to start hating on the Cubs? I mean, when can we start? You know, remember, we used to, we loved the Patriots when they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, and the Rams were the greatest show on turf, and it was such a patriotic thing for the Patriots to win that year and the year after, you know, 9/11. But having said that, when can we start hating the Cubs? Do we have to continue to be the lovable Cubs, or can we start hating on them now that they're going to win 100 games again this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. It sounds crazy, but I was really rooting against them in the World Series, and primarily because the Cubs are going to be really good for a really long time, and they're not cuddly and lovable because they're one of the highest payrolls in baseball, and, you know, everybody knows they have no weakness. I mean, they were the preseason World Series favorite last year. They had the best regular season record last year. They made the biggest trade deadline acquisitions last year, including Aroldis Chapman. And then they went to the World Series. And so I think the Indians, see, their margin for error is so much smaller. And I really wanted to see the Indians win because I said, you know, we're going to see the Cubs in the World Series three out of the next 5 years anyway. So I think, again, they're a power team. They have almost no holes. Unless they, you know, get a lot of injuries or maybe have that World Series hangover, they're going to be really, really tough again. I think it's distinctly possible that they flame out before they get to the World Series because it's so young and they had so much success last year. It would only make sense if they kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit. But, dude, that Cubs team is going to be in the World Series again, no doubt about it, before the end of the decade and maybe a couple of times because they are so loaded.
Oh, they're loaded for bear this year, you know, unless the pitching breaks down or something happens with Arrieta or you know, John Lester. I mean, it's going to be they're loaded. And I like their manager, so it's hard to hate on them. But, you know, at some point in time, they'll become, you know, their own little evil empire. Maybe. Maybe not. Who knows? Damon Amendola has been our guest. You'll hear him tonight and every night on the CBS Sports Radio Network. If you're being blocked from it because of a game or whatever and you want to listen to it, don't forget the CBS Sports app, which is absolutely tremendous as well. DA, appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Big Dog. Talk to you soon, buddy.
See ya. Damon Amendola. All right, coming up next, Cole Kublik will join us. I want to talk to him about the issue of elite quarterbacks. We'll get his thoughts on that topic that we had on Friday. We spent quite a bit of time on, as Colin Cowherd said, that you know, Cam Newton was not elite. Well, what is elite? First, you got to determine that, and then you got to determine where would you slot the guy. I'd like to get Cole's take on that. Plus, the story that came out last week regarding this bill that has been put into place by Gadsden's Craig Ford, a Democrat out of Gadsden, that he floated out there stating that he'd like to limit the salary of a high school coach that doesn't teach to 75% of the high school principal's salary. I want to see what Cole has to say about that, too. We'll come back with Cole Kublik next right here. Tom Abraham Show on 730, 103.9 AM.
Sports Radio 730 1039 The Ump. It's time for 60 with Cole Kublik.
Noticed over the weekend, Jordan Spieth won the AT&T Pro-Am Challenge to pick up his 9th PGA Tour victory in his young career. Now, yes, it's young. He's got a long way to go, but some folks in the media have anointed Jordan Spieth as one of the greatest ever and beginning to lump him in groups with Jack, Arnie, Tiger, Phil, and company. Keep in mind, Tiger Woods doesn't even have the most PGA Tour victories all time. He's sitting at 79. Sam Snead has 82 career wins. 82! Jack Nicklaus, 73. Even a guy like Phil Mickelson's in the top 10 with 45 career PGA Tour victories. I realize we're hungry to find the next great golfer. I realize we need some excitement in the post-Tiger Woods era. But let's pump the brakes on Jordan Spieth being the GOAT.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump. Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
On The Ump tonight, you can check out Hey Coach starting at 6 o'clock, followed by West Virginia at Kansas at 7:45, all on The Ump tonight.
March Madness. It's a time when the best of the best come out to play. And you can experience that same level of performance at your local Infiniti retailer. Starting with the turbocharged Infiniti Q50 sedan with impressive technology like available predictive forward collision warning and direct adaptive steering. And the Infiniti QX60 crossover is definitely up for the challenge. Easily seating 7 so you can bring the whole team. Or experience true power in the full-size Infiniti QX80 with its V8 engine and luxurious interior. It's that time of year again. Time for the best of the best. Visit Smith Infiniti of Huntsville today and lease the Q50 for $339 a month for 39 months. $24.99 initial payment, tax, title, license, and options extra. Call 1-800-862-0406 for details. Offer ends 2/28/17. Infiniti is an official partner of NCAA Men's Basketball. NCAA and March Madness are registered trademarks of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Infiniti. Empower the drive.
Madison RV Supercenter is having their annual RV show and sale February 13th through the 18th with interest rates way down and discounts way up. Now is the perfect time to choose your new RV. With the largest selection of latest models in the area, there's no need to go anywhere else but Madison RV Supercenter. Free parking, free admission, free food. Madison RV Supercenter is the only place to get your new RV, and the annual RV show and sale is the right time to buy. Don't miss this event. Madison RV Supercenter annual RV show and sale.
Looking for a way to get involved in the community? Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Alabama has a new office in Athens and is looking for those interested in becoming a big, wanting to be a little, or simply desiring to assist the organization through donations or partnerships. Each year, Big Brothers Big Sisters works to pair children ages 5 to 13 with mentors in an effort to enrich their lives. In order to support these, your support is needed. To be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters, stop by the new office in the Family Resources Center at 406 South Jefferson Street in Athens. Call 256-880-2123 or on the web at bbbsna.org. Becoming a big brother or big sister makes a tremendous impact on the lives of children throughout the Tennessee Valley. And with the addition of the new office in Athens, your impact reaches even further. It's never too late to start something and make a difference in someone's life.
Weather brought to you by ADT, protecting what matters most for over 140 years. ADT is more than just a sign in your yard. It's your line in the sand. Visit ADT.com.
Mostly sunny and cool today, the high in the upper 50s at 58. Tonight, mostly fair with the low at 34. We stay dry tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 61. But Wednesday, the weather turns wet, periods of rain likely throughout the day, and cooler with a high at 50. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
The Valley's home for live sports. The Ump.
.327 in the doghouse on a Reaction Monday. Still plenty of football to get into, as always, but we also look towards some other things as well that are going on in the world of sports. And it's spring training week in baseball. Everybody's showing up in Arizona and in Florida. We get ready to lift the lid on a new baseball season as well, which is our national pastime. It's how we pass time until the next football season. Joining us now from the morning show and, of course, from ESPN and the SEC Network is Cole Kulik. Cole, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, great, Tom. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Last week, we got into a topic on Friday, and I've been waiting till today to kind of get your take on it, get your thoughts on it. When Colin Cowherd said that not only did he not think that Cam Newton was an elite NFL quarterback, that he wasn't even in the top 10. Two different topics, 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. In your mind, when somebody says elite, because we seem to put this on everybody, you know, a big number of quarterbacks, how many quarterbacks are elite? I mean, what would be the percentage out of 32? You'd have to be in the top, what, 5%, 10% would be 3%, 15%, 4%? How many quarterbacks can we tag as elite, first of all, in your mind?
Well, I think it just depends on the player. It depends on the quarterback. And I mean, you could have 10, 15, 20 if they all played elite football. You know, it's I think it's just based on their resume, based on what they do, success, how they play. I don't feel like that you could take a certain percentage and say, well, only this amount of guys are going to be able to be considered elite because we're only going to allow that many to be in that group. I think it's all just based on performance and success.
But isn't it relative to each other? I mean, you know, you have to, if you say that, say you've got 15 guys that are playing great football in the NFL, you can't have half the quarterbacks in the league be elite. If you've got that many great quarterbacks, the elite ones are whatever that upper crust is, isn't it? I mean, to me, it's four. To me, there's four elite quarterbacks. Then you can have a bunch of very good quarterbacks. But if you're elite to within your group, you know, it's like you're just a bunch of great broadcasters at the SEC network. But if you say elite, SEC network broadcasters, it's got to be relative to the rest of the group, the top, I don't know, 10% or something.
Well, what if you went out and signed nationally all the guys who are considered to be elite? I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I think it's still based on performance, and it's still based on ability, and still based on track record. So I just don't think you can put a number on it, because then I think you're forcing yourself to leave guys out. I mean, if you said there's three elite quarterbacks in the NFL, even four, I mean, who are you leaving out? I mean, obviously, Brady's going to be number one. Some people think Matt Ryan has moved in there. Aaron Rodgers is there. Roethlisberger's there. Drew Brees is there. I mean, so
well, that's what makes
right
it.
There, leaving somebody out. So,
well, that's what makes it.
I think it's just based on. It should be based on performance.
I think that's what makes it interesting. Is that I know I use the number four because I say 10%, you know, or plus. So I'll round up to four. You know, the top 10% of quarterbacks in the NFL, who would be the four guys that you'd take right now? And, yeah, even though Brady's old, you'd have to say Brady's in no particular order. Brady, Rodgers. And then it does get a little bit, you know, would you take Drew Brees? Would you take – I mean, if I told you right now for next season, would you take Drew Brees or Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Russell Wilson, you know, or Cam Newton? And to put Cam in this conversation, since he was the target of this conversation – And after I did it, I had him somewhere between 5 and 10. I definitely think he's a top 10 quarterback. But Ben Roethlisberger or Cam Newton, if you were the Steelers, would you trade Ben Roethlisberger today for Cam Newton straight up?
No. Wait, if I was the Steelers?
Yeah, if you were the Steelers, would you send Roethlisberger? If you were getting Newton back, would you send Roethlisberger?
Yes, absolutely. Because Cam Newton's proven to be an MVP-caliber quarterback, and Ben Roethlisberger is already beginning to discuss retirement. If someone wanted to make that trade straight up, with the way Pittsburgh builds their team and the way they've built their franchise, I think they're built to sustain success in this league. And when you put an elite quarterback on top of that, I think that would be an easy way for you to be able to continue to have success.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, by the way. And the one that Colin used as an example is he said he's nowhere near, people want to talk about him like he's Drew Brees. He's nowhere near Drew Brees' caliber. And I contend that if the Panthers, if Jerry McCormick took a phone call today and it was the Saints and they said, hey, we'll give you Drew Brees if you send us Cam Newton, you don't make that deal, right? I mean, can you trade Cam Newton today for 2017 season, can you trade Cam Newton for Drew Brees even?
Not if you're the Carolina Panthers, no. If you're the New Orleans Saints, you can.
Yeah, if you're the Saints,
absolutely.
You take that deal. You offer that deal. But if you're the Panthers, you don't make that deal. All right, well, good. We're in agreement.
No, definitely not.
Yeah,
no,
we're in agreement.
You take a younger guy who may have a better high-end skill set, may have a better ceiling as far as ability, and you make that deal, and you better your franchise for the future.
Right. Now, we agree that you wouldn't, if the Packers aren't going to trade Aaron Rodgers for him and the Patriots right now, if we're just talking about one season, of course, the long term, I just don't know how much longer Brady can go, but right now you're not trading Brady for Cam Newton. All right, what about Russell Wilson? Would you trade Russell Wilson for Cam Newton? If you're the Panthers, would you send Cam Newton to Seattle for Russell Wilson?
No.
Really?
No,
that one's a little closer.
I think he's benefited from great defenses, which Cam had also last year. I think he also has benefited from an elite running back, which Cam has not had. And I think that you look at the way those teams have been built, it's a little bit different. And I think there are some advantages there that certain quarterbacks have based on the team that's around them. So, no, I definitely wouldn't send I definitely wouldn't trade Russell Wilson for Cam Newton. No, if I'm the Panthers, I'm not. I mean, if I'm the Panthers, you know, I'm not even making that deal for Tom Brady, just based on the fact that you're going to have him for a while. So, I mean, Matt Ryan, maybe that's one you discuss and you think about. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, probably make that trade. Yeah, I mean, that guy's got Super Bowl and he's got years left. Now, I mean, even though Cam is younger, I think you have to take into consideration, okay, how much longer is his body going to be able to take what he's doing to it? And even if it is, and he's going to be able to play a while, at some point in time, the skill set that makes him elite is going to begin to diminish. Can he morph his game the way Jordan did late in his career, the way Brady sort of has in his career as being a guy that gets rid of it quickly, not spending time in the pocket and taking hits? Can he change his game like some of the great athletes ever have done to extend his career?
Well, and that's why I'm trying to use contemporaries, because you know, you can only go on a season-by-season basis, and that's why Brady, you know, like you say, you know, Brady might only be around for another year or so. Colt Kubelik with us. All right, let me give you – I'll throw three names in here together, and then you tell me where you would put them. These would be relative contemporaries. You mentioned Matt Ryan, which is interesting because Cam was the losing quarterback in last year's Super Bowl. Matt Ryan, the losing quarterback in this year's Super Bowl. I try to think, like, if Cam was on that Atlanta team, do they still go? They're both there, the back-to-back last 2 year MVP, so it's very interesting there. But here's the other two. Derek Carr out at Oakland, who's shown a lot of, you know, accuracy and understanding of his offense and a lot of what he's been able to do. And then also Andrew Luck. If you were the Colts, would you send Andrew Luck for Cam Newton?
No, probably not. I mean, that guy hasn't had a great offensive line. They've just really begun to upgrade it the last 2, maybe 3 years. You know, he's got one legitimate weapon in T.Y. Hilton. I think Andre Johnson was just, you know, sort of masking tape on a gaping wound. And you know, even when he has had a pretty good running back, he's been an older guy. Defense hasn't been extraordinary. So there's a lot of pieces. I mean, you take Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener, they're solid at tight end. They have one weapon at receiver. And what else really? I mean, your best pass rusher was suspended last year, so what else have the Colts had? You have a franchise quarterback that hasn't really had a championship franchise being built around him. So I don't think that bringing Cam Newton in is going to fix a lot of your problems there.
Right. That's a good point. All right. Shift gears a little bit here. State Rep Craig Ford from down in Gadsden introduced a bill into this year's legislative session, stating that he would like to limit the salary of a high school head football coach who doesn't teach to 75% of whatever the school's principal's salary is. And the average principal salary in the state of Alabama, $95,000. Of course, we've had some coaches like Mark Freeman at Thompson and a couple of the other guys, that are making Josh Niblett's making $133,000 a year. We got some of these other guys making some pretty big bucks. Is it disturbing to you that high school football coaches in the state of Alabama are making more money than a principal at a school is?
Not always, because I don't think that that's always determined by the school's budget or the Department of Education's budget. And I mean, some of this is determined, as we know, similar to college football. It's based on what happens with donors, boosters, booster clubs. Mm-hmm. And if those guys come together and figure out a way to want to make their high school football team better, and they can help better the team, better the program by donating money to pay a coach more, I don't think that you should just cut that off. I mean, some of these athletic departments and booster clubs may go out and actually work and put in time and effort to be able to bring more money in and be able to better themselves in their program. So to just say, well, we're cutting off at a percentage, and no matter what happens, you can only make so much as the principal does. So, and who's to say that a football coach doesn't impact more kids than the principal does?
I mean, bingo.
I know a lot of my friends, we saw our high school head football coach a lot more than we did our principal, and it's nothing maybe against the principal, but
maybe a high school football coach who teaches driver's ed, or maybe coaches as an assistant and another coach and serves as the athletic director. Maybe they impact more kids' lives than the principal actually does. I mean, he's spread pretty thin. He's got to deal with teachers and students. So,
well,
it's I don't really see the benefit there.
Yeah, I agree with you. And some people say, well, you know, there's only 75 or 80 guys in these big schools, you know, that are playing football. There's an entire, you know, 1,500 kids that are in the school. But to me, a school that has a successful high school football program, that's something that permeates all the way through the school, the halls, the kids on Friday night, the quality of life at the school. Believe it or not, I really believe that this is true. If you've got a perennial losing program in football and basketball, you're in major sports, I think it impacts the kids, their self-esteem, what they do, the quality of life, the spirit life there at the school. Whereas if you're a place like Hoover or some of these other places that have great programs, I think it pays off benefit. I think it benefits the entire school, maybe more so even than whatever the principal, you know, happens to be doing. And I really like what they did at Auburn High School. Adam Weingarten there, he's making $123,000, but he's the head football coach and the director of football operations. And what he does is he goes down to all the other schools, the middle school, the primary schools, the other programs in the Auburn City school system, and kind of coaches the coaches. And they're utilizing his system at every level. So he's like the head football guy for the whole school system. And yeah, he's the head football coach at the school. You know, you want to perpetuate winning. The best thing you can do is have kids coming into the high school who are already familiar with the program you're trying to run.
No, absolutely. And that's kind of what I was saying before about just being creative. If you had a coach who teaches driver's ed, he's the athletic director, maybe an assistant on another team, you find different ways to maximize and I guess defend why he's making the amount of money that he is. So I don't really have a problem with it, but sometimes you do need to get creative. Auburn High School runs a really nice athletic department. I've spoken to those kids down there. I've dealt with their coaches. They have a pretty good grasp on how to handle things and how to manage things. They do a really nice job.
Yeah, they do a good job, is right. All right, Cole, appreciate you as always, man. Good stuff, good input. Every morning, 6 to 10, you'll hear them. And right here, Roddy Ump does a great job. Thanks, Cole.
Thanks, Tom.
Cole Kublik. It's good work. All right, we're going to get phone lines open up. What do you think about that? Does it bother you that a coach makes more than the principal? Is it okay for a high school football coach to make more than the principal? And the number that this politician has put out there, Craig Ford, Democrat, the number that he has put out there is 75% of what the principal makes. He says, quote, "We're putting the cart before the horse when we pay a coach more than the teacher in the classroom." By the way, teacher salary, average teacher salary in the state of Alabama is 50 grand. So a decent number of coaches making more than that. So, is a coach not a teacher? We're putting the cart before the horse when we pay a coach more than a teacher in the classroom. React to that. We'll be back. Open lines, 866-485-9867. 866-485-9867. Back with more after this. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039, The
Ump. Sports Radio, 730 and 1039. The Ump.
Why?
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. Just when you thought that Jim Dolan and the Knicks could not look any worse for forcibly removing Charles Oakley from their building and having him arrested, they do. Not only did Dolan not apologize for that, he immediately went on the offensive, conducting his own little media tour and doing whatever he could to discredit Oakley. There was no olive branch. No, this was a really unfortunate situation. Let's sit down and work this out. Nope, it was just the opposite. It was reportedly, this guy is never to be allowed back in this building. Oh, and he probably has a drinking problem, and he should take care of that as well. So, Dolan took a terrible situation, he made it even worse. He tried to put out that dumpster fire with his gas can. He's not sorry for anything he did or the way he handled that. He's sorry that everybody took Oakley's side. I'm Jim Rome.
CBS Sports Radio.
Most Tuesdays are just Tuesdays, except at Buffalo Wild Wings, where Tuesdays are Wing Tuesdays. But now even Wing Tuesdays aren't just Wing Tuesdays, because Wing Tuesdays are half-price Wing Tuesdays, which means your boring Tuesday that became Wing Tuesday now costs you half as much. In case you're confused, we have half-price Wing Tuesdays. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
If you're a pro, you know this is not efficient, because you know there's a better way. And pros also know that the better way to save money is to go to Lowe's. From February 14th through the 16th, pros get 5% off all purchases, or save 10% when you use your Lowe's business credit account. So hurry in and save big on the supplies pros use every day. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. In-store or online, credit offer subject to credit approval, U.S. only.
This Valentine's Day, love is giving, and Pandora Jewelry creates pieces that are as special as the women you're giving them to. From tiny hearts to sparkling arrows, each gift set was inspired by love and hand-finished with sterling silver. Celebrate love this Valentine's Day and shop new Pandora Jewelry gift sets. Gift sets available while supplies last. Available at participating retailers. No substitutions.
Shop the new Valentine's Day gift sets at the shops at Bridge Street Pandora store today.
At Simple Mobile, we want to make wireless simple, so we won't use any sound effects like to describe our blazing fast network. Simple Mobile offers truly unlimited high-speed data, talk, and text for just $60 a month. Sure, we could use lots of
echo to show how bottomless our unlimited high-speed data is,
but we won't. Bottom line, we give you more speed and data for less money, because if you want better wireless, the answer's simple. Available at Best Buy, Target, Walgreens, and other select national retailers. Savings may vary. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at Simple Mobile.
From painting to lawn maintenance, we protect our homes, both the inside and the outside. Now is the perfect time to protect the most valuable thing in your home. Protect your loved ones by practicing a fire escape plan and installing Kidde fire and security products. Kidde is here to help with a full line of easy-to-install fire and carbon monoxide alarms and security cameras, and you can find them all at a store near you. Stop in today for everything you need to protect your home. Kidde. Technology that saves lives.
Alabama basketball hits the hardwood again, fresh off a loss to Kentucky, and look to rebound against the all of a sudden hot Missouri Tigers. Coverage on Wednesday starts at 6:30 on The Ump, your exclusive home of Alabama basketball.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Facebook, where liking turns to love real quick. See the love on our page. Search Ump Sports.
From the text window, Tom, I wouldn't trade Gary Hogaboom for Cam Newton after the way Cam quit on his team in the Super Bowl and was scared to dive on that fumble. He's a crybaby and a me-first guy and a coward. Bama Doug. Well, there's that. But you see, it would be, I didn't even bother putting this up as a poll question because it's impossible to have you guys sort through your rooting interest to give us a, you know, a real true read on that question. It's impossible to do. It's impossible. If you're an Auburn fan, you love the guy. If you're anybody else, you don't like the guy. I mean, if you're an Alabama fan, you can't stand the guy. I understand that. What if you're a Carolina Panther fan and an Alabama fan? What do you do with yourself? Hey, you got Mike Shula. He's the offensive coordinator. But Cam Newton's your quarterback. How do you guys live with yourselves? Is there a Carolina Panther fan out there that was an Alabama fan that quit being a fan of the Panthers because they got Cam Newton? Is there a Falcons fan that's out there that is also an Auburn fan, and there's a lot of those, right? Georgia and, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, and its proximity to Auburn. A lot of Auburn fans in Atlanta. Do you think that our Auburn fans in Atlanta that have turned their back on the Falcons because of Julio Jones? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they're pretty much they're good with that.
Or, I mean, there's so many that you could go throughout with that. Like, you could take my instance for, or my case, for example, as a Bears fan.
Mm-hmm.
I was extremely supportive of having Florida Gator Jonathan Bullard join the Chicago Bears, and I'm even more happy if I see Jonathan Allen get drafted to Chicago.
There you go. Yeah.
And then you could, I mean, you've got a lot of Titans fans that follow you, and you follow Titans fans back. You see their reaction to Derrick Henry, and majority of these Titans fans, Vol fans.
A lot of them. A lot of them are Vols fans. And then they don't have a problem with it. I know Bama Zach used to tell me all the time, and he's a big fan of the Cowboys. He used to say, you know, if the Cowboys or the Dolphins, his other favorite team, if they drafted one of those guys, even if it was a guy from, you know, Auburn, that he'd pull for the guy because that's his team. McCringleberry says, coward? Let's put them in a cell together. Bama Doug and Cam Newton. Well, I think it's relative. I don't think Bama Doug is saying that he's ready to throw a Cam Newton. I think he's saying relatively speaking, maybe. I don't think he's saying that he wants to go with Cam Newton. I'm just saying. I got him about six. I got him about six or seven at worst. He's definitely a top 10 quarterback, though. He's 1 year removed from the, you know, from the MVP. He's definitely a top 10 quarterback. I mean, come on. Not be silly. All right, lines are open 866-485-9867. That will get you in. Bill Snyder, Hall of Fame college football coach Bill Snyder, 77 years old. Is undergoing treatment in Kansas City for the last 3 weeks for throat cancer. Snyder's son is Kansas State associate head coach Sean Snyder, and he's been running the team during his father's absence. Snyder said, quote, I've been diagnosed with throat cancer and have been receiving outpatient treatment at the Kansas University Medical Center for about 3 weeks, and I'm getting along very well. The doctors and staffs at both the KU Med and MD Anderson facility in Houston, Texas have been great, working so very well together to finalize the overall treatment plan, which is being conducted in Kansas City. Both teams have projected a positive outcome and have worked out a schedule that allows me to be in Kansas City for my regular treatments and still be back in the office on a regular basis through the first week of March. Sean, along with our coaching and support staffs, remain highly productive in carrying out the responsibilities and keeping us on track. Close quote. Two things here. One, Bill Snyder, right, second go-round at K-State. He's the oldest head coach in FBS. He's 202 and 105. He's won two Big 12 championships in his 25 seasons at K-State. Now, you might say, well, what's the big deal out of two Big 12 championships in 25 years? Well, come on. I mean, they were absolutely horrific before he got there the first time in 1989, and they had gone back to being horrific before he came back in 2009 at the age of 69. Having said that, geez, Bill. I don't know, because I don't know what it's like to be 77 or 67 or 57. So I don't know, but man. I'm not saying we're going to run into a situation like with Joe Paterno. That was a totally different type of scenario. But, you know, Bobby Bowden and some of these others. I know that the prevailing wisdom is to let these guys coach as long as they want. But, Bill, kick back, relax a little bit, enjoy life. You're battling cancer, for God's sakes. Do you need to keep coaching? Is it the best? Is it the healthiest thing? Maybe it is. Maybe it's healthier for a guy to have that to work with. Maybe it is. All right, when we return, earlier in the show today, our audience grows each hour. And I hate that a bunch of you has missed the champ, the WBC champ, Deontay Wilder, was on the show. Joined us from an airport in Pennsylvania where his plane nearly crashed. I'll let you hear that when we return. It's the Tom Abraham Show. Right here on 730-1039 AM.
And 1039, The Ump. More sports.
This Valentine's Day, love is giving, and Pandora Jewelry creates pieces that are as special as the women you're giving them to. From tiny hearts to sparkling arrows, each gift set was inspired by love and hand-finished with sterling silver. Celebrate love this Valentine's Day and shop new Pandora Jewelry gift sets. Gift sets available while supplies last. Available at participating retailers. No substitutions.
Shop the new Valentine's Day gift sets at the shops at Bridge Street Pandora Store today.
Madison RV Supercenter is having their annual RV show and sale February 13th through the 18th with interest rates way down and discounts way up. Now is the perfect time to choose your new RV. With the largest selection of latest models in the area, there's no need to go anywhere else but Madison RV Supercenter. Free parking, free admission, free food. Madison RV Supercenter is the only place to get your new RV, and the annual RV show and sale is the right time to buy. Don't miss this event. Madison RV Supercenter annual RV show and sale.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is for you to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 33.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter Brooklyn was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Are you at risk for whooping cough? Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is an extremely contagious respiratory illness that can cause a violent cough lasting up to 10 weeks. Pertussis is spread through the air when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes. Over 48,000 cases of pertussis have been diagnosed in the United States, the highest number of cases since 1955. And even though you may have gotten the DPT shot when you were a child, over time, your immunity to pertussis declines, leaving you and those around you at risk. Even if you've received a tetanus shot in the past, there's a high likelihood it did not contain pertussis protection. Receiving the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine will not only protect you, but also prevent you from spreading the disease to others, especially to young children for whom whooping cough can be fatal. To find out more about the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine, be sure to talk to your pharmacist or doctor today.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here's the founder of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
Ken doesn't know how old he is. He guesses at around 7. His whole life has been centered on finding food. You see, he lives at a dump and he's never been anywhere else. You can find Ken walking in a decaying landfill of rotting garbage, plastic bags, and shards of broken glass. To many, Ken and children like him are invisible. But they're not, are they?
For more information, visit www.foodfororphans.org.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life.
A healthy birth is the dream of every parent. But for hundreds of thousands of families with a baby born too soon, the reality is their baby's first home is the newborn intensive care unit. It's the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. This is a crisis that knows no boundaries. 15 million babies are born prematurely worldwide. Nearly 1 million will die before their first birthday. Do something today. Help the March of Dimes provide education and support to families and fund life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station. Now, another exciting.